Inshallah.
While your Jews will saw.
Now we continue regarding fasting. We spoke about man akala shakan in our previous lesson. Whoever ate out of doubt fil fajri, okay, at the time of fajr, okay, laysa alayhi fi jami' dhalika kullihi illa al-qada. That person will only make up that day, no kafara on that person, doing al kafara. And then we spoke about وَلَا يَلْزِمُهُ الْقَضَاءُ فِي غَالِبِ الزُّبَابَةِ. And we said if accidentally you swallowed a fly or غُبَار or any dust, غُرَابُ الطَّرِيقُ, so which means the dust on the street, أو دقيق, or any flower, like someone who is working in the mill. Okay? And we even spoke about the dry, this thing, glue and stuff like that. All this, when those things happen, وَلَا فِي هُقْنَةٍ إِحْلِيلٍ, we spoke about this. وَيَجُوزُ لِلصَّائِمِ نَعْ
السِّوَاكُ جَمِيعُ نَوَارِهِ
نَهَارِهِ. So, وَيَجُوزُ لِلصَّائِمِ السِّوَاكُ. السِّوَاكُ, chewing stick. It's okay for a person who is fasting all day long. They can use miswak to brush their teeth and clean their teeth. It's no problem for that. فِي جَمِيعِ نَهَارِهِ, all day, you can do that. And even if it happens to be, it is really hot, you can go under the shower. That is also okay. Or rinse your mouth at any given time. Just do not go too far that the water will go down your throat. All right? But using siwak is okay. Now, the difference is, can you use your toothbrush? Yes, you can, as long as you're not using the toothpaste on. All right? So you can. If you are confident enough that you can use your toothpaste without getting anything down your throat, do that. But refrain so that you don't get yourself in trouble. Now,
والمضمضة
لعطشين, and also rinsing the mouth or gargling water لعطشين, for a person who has dried mouth. You can do that as well, as long as you can control not to get the water to go down your throat. This is also acceptable for a fasting person.
والإسباح بالجنابة.
والإسباح بالجنابة. This one is when a person wakes up in the morning in a state of junub, all right? And this junub, not because of ihtilam, not because of dream. So there was an intercourse at night, and then pass out and you slept through. Now, when you woke up, it happened that it's almost fajr, all right? But you have a window of eating. You can eat before you go and have ghusl and pray fajr. We're not talking to the married guys. You can eat and then go about and then go. And but before then, scholars said that try to perform wudu quickly before eating. And then you can go and have ghusl and pray. But people are thinking that when you woke up in the month of Ramadan, okay, with intercourse junub, they have concern about that. So once it is narrated at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when a man came and asked, the lady came and asked the wife of the Prophet, and she said, yeah, it's fine. Sometimes the Prophet woke up in the morning with this thing. She went and told the husband, the husband said, no, we are not like the Prophet. Go and ask again whether ours is different. She went back again multiple times to the extent the Prophet observed, this lady has been coming here. And he asked, what is wrong with that lady? She kept coming. And then the wife narrated that this is the incident that we told him. And he said, didn't you tell them that sometimes I do wake up with the junub as well? She said, we told her, but this is what the husband said. And the Prophet ﷺ was not happy with the response. And he said, I wish I have more iman than you guys to do more better. So if I'm doing something, I'm just trying to tell you that it is okay. It is fine. We are all human. We can all be part of this. Naam. So it is okay in the month of Ramadan for a person to wake up with junub. Naam.
وَالْحَامِلُ إِذَا خَافَتْ عَلَى
وَالْحَامِلُ, for a pregnant woman also is allowed to fast, but إِذَا خَافَتْ عَلَى مَا بَطْنِهَا, but if she fears that it's going to harm the baby, or she felt like she's going to lose energy to the extent that it's going to harm the baby, she shouldn't fast at all. وَلَمْ تُطْعِمْ, after that she can break the fast. وَلَمْ تُطْعِمْ, she does not need to feed in this situation. Okay? But she wouldn't have to make it up after she gave birth. But then other scholars said, no, so far as that's the situation, tutim, she just feed. Why is it so? Because now you're looking at her in the state of pregnancy. By next year Ramadan, she'll still not be able to fast because she will be breastfeeding. She will need enough food to be able to breastfeed. So in that situation, she's going to pile. Some scholars say she has to wait until that time, then she feed the previous year, and then leave this current year of breastfeeding, and then make the fasting after Ramadan. Others said, no, she cannot just keep piling. The best thing is just feed as she goes in pregnancy, and also when she's breastfeeding, she can relax. If she feels like after Ramadan, she could be, the child will be able to start taking food so that she can fast, then she should do it that way.
وَالْمُرْضِعُ إِذَا خَافَتْ عَلَى
وَكَذَا الْمُرْضِعُ The same thing applies to مُرْضِعُ, a person, a woman who is breastfeeding. Okay, إِنْ خَافَتْ عَلَى وَلَدِهَا If she fears for her child, وَلَمْ تَجِدْ مَنْ تَسْتَأْجِرُهُ She know, because they always have a system where there are wet nurses that do help in taking care of the child. If she could not get anyone who will be breastfeeding the child, okay? أَوْ لَمْ يَقْبَلُ غَيْرِهَا Or the child itself does not take anyone's breast milk apart from his mom's. After then in that situation, she also needs to break the fast. وَأَطْعَمَتْ And she also has to feed. And with all this, it comes to the verse in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَعَلَى الَّذِينَ يُتِيقُونَهُ فِدْيَةُ طَعَامُ مِسْكِينَ In this, Ibn Abbas أَثْبَتَتْ Ibn Abbas affirms in this regarding the breastfeeding woman as well. Naam.
وَكَذَلِكَ الشَّيْكُ الْحَرِمُ تُطِعِمُ إِذَا
يُطِعِمُ إِذَا أَفْطَرَ The same thing applies to a sheikh, an old man who cannot fast. He will also feed, condition if he has the means to feed. Alright? Sometimes, not only he's old, but he cannot even afford. Alright? But he will also feed. The same thing applies to the same verse as we said, وَعَلَى الَّذِينَ يَتِيقُونَهُ فِدْيَةُ طَعَامُ مِسْكِينَ So they will all feed because they cannot afford to fast or because of their situation. وَمِثْلُهُ مَنْ فَرَطَ فِي قَضَاءُ رَمَضَانَ And the same thing applies to a person who has previous Ramadan. He could not make it up and then the next Ramadan comes. What does he need to do? He also have to feed for the previous and fast this year. All right? Ramadan akhar, until another Ramadan comes. So in that situation, he should just be feeding old Ramadan and then fast for this Ramadan. In all this situation, what he needs or she needs to feed, في ذلك كله مدٌ على كل يوم يقضيه مدٌ We have the cap that we call Muddun Nabi. And currently, we're looking at about 1.5 kilos or 2 kilos. Or, as we know in the West, they calculate the best or the medium of food, which will be in our situation here, around $18 per person or $15 per person every single day.
What used to have bully saw him?
Kaffil lisan. Making sure that you control what comes out of your mouth is very important for the person that is fasting because the Prophet ﷺ said, "مَنْ لَمْ يَدَعْ قَوْلَ الزُّورِ وَالْعَمَلِ بِهِ فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةً فِي أَنْ يَدَعْ طَعَامَهُ وَشَرَابًا Whoever does not stay away from bad language or things that did not concern them in the month of Ramadan, Allah will not be interested in him going without food or water. They are only going with thirst and hunger, but Allah is not interested in their fasting. Bimana, fasting is not only about not eating and drinking, but our character, our morals, the words that we use, the way we interact with people is very important. You cannot fast and go about talking bad about people. All this will affect your fasting.
وتعجيل قضاء ما في
ذمة And delayance of qada'u ma fi dhimma min as-sawm. And delayance of the prayer fasting that is on a person from the previous fasting. And we spoke about that. You delayed. You did not fast your previous until another one comes. Okay? So what do you do?
وَتَتَابَعُهُ
And then you have another one on top of you. Okay? As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. So you got previous and this one. What do you do? Do what the Quran said regarding that فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرَ So you make it up another day. Make sure you fast the current one.
ويستحب صوم يوم 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 عرفة.
Now apart from Ramadan, they just want to know that apart from fasting in the month of Ramadan, there are also other fasting that are encouraged. Number one, يوم عرفة. For those that are not performing Hajj, they are encouraged to fast on the day of Arafah.
وصوم عشر ذي
الحجة. And also يوم عاشوراء, the 10th of the month of ذي الحجة. Ashura is 10th of month of Muharram, rather. So you are also encouraged to fast.
ومحرم
وصوم عشر ذي الحجة, and also the 10th of ذي الحجة. That one, we're going to look at it, because when we talk about ذي الحجة, we're talking about the month of Hajj. The 9th day of ذي الحجة is what? Is Arafah. The day after Arafah is what? Eid. You don't fast on Eid day. Alright? But for those that are performing Hajj, after the Eid day, Yawm al-Eid al-Akbar, they, for some of them, depending on their situation, on the type of Hajj they are performing, they will start their fasting to make up whatever that they do. I think we did that in the Hanifa, Abu Hanifa, when we're talking about type of fasting, we spoke about this.
Yep. ومحرم.
And Muharram.
Yep. ورجب.
Some months that are encouraged to fast in the month of Rajab.
Yep. وشعبان.
And also it is also said in the month of Shaban is encouraged to fast.
وثلاثة أيام من كل شهر.
And also every month you should try and fast at least 3 days.
وكره مالك رحمه الله أن تكون البيض لفراره من التحديد.
So here Malik has concern about fasting Ayam al-Bid, which is the 14th, 15th, and the 16th of the month. It is encouraged. Anyway, here in this situation, even the students of Maliki, God evidence that said that is encouraged. At his time, he has concern that he does not want people to have some specific fasting that's what he called a tahdid, like specific fasting. Even he discouraged fasting Sita Shawwal. Alright? But there is hadith authentic that said it's encouraged, and all the scholars of Maliki are also on that you have to fast Sita Shawwal. His opinion at that moment was so that people will not continue the Ramadan as if Ramadan is 36 days. Alright? So sometimes scholars will give some opinion just to avoid a fear of something to happen, but not necessarily anything to worry about in some situation. And most scholars agree that you have to, you can fast.
وَكَذَا كَرِهَ سِيَامَ سِتَّةٍ مِنَ الشَّوَّالِ.
So that is what I made mention. So remember always one important thing is مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَوْ عَشَرُ أَمْثَالِهَا. Anything that you do that is good, alright? If you do, the reward is multiplied. So here when Maliki said that, he is just trying to protect you from combining Ramadan and those. But do not worry about that. It's evidential fasting that you can do that. So you should go about and do it if you have the means or if you can do that.
مخافتي أن يلحقها
جاهل برمضان. So he fears that someone who does not know the difference might combine it with Ramadan, which of course is not accepted. So this is his opinion, not because he said it's haram. That's why I said kuriha. He dislike.
ويكره ذوق الملح للصائم.
ذوق الملح here also للصائم. If you are fasting to try to test whether the salt is okay in the soup, is discouraged. But this, it does not spoil fasting as long as when you test, you're gonna spit it out.
فإن فعل ذلك
ومح... When you test, you're gonna spit it out. Okay, so the boss here, he just check with his eyes. Skills. He tests with his eyes. Okay? Naam.
فَإِن فَعَلَ ذَلِكَ
وَمَجَّهُ. But if you tested in the month of Ramadan,
وَمَجَّهُ
and then you spit it out,
وَلَمْ يُسِلْ إِلَّا
and nothing goes beyond your throat,
مِنْهُ شَيْءٌ فَلَا شَيْءَ
عَلَيْهِ. Then there's no problem with that.
وَمُقَدِّمَاتُ الْجِمَاعِ
مَقْرُوحَةٌ لِلصَّائِمِ. مقروحات, here what we're talking about, مقدمات الجماع, is any foreplay that the husband and wife will do while they are fasting is discouraged because of what it can lead to. Alright? So they have different stations depending on what it led to and what they have to do. Alright? So it is not allowed, مقدمات الجماع. I remembered Ibn Abbas was giving a talk and then one of the companions asked, is it okay while fasting to kiss my wife? And Ibn Abbas said, yes, of course, what's the big deal? And another time, some guy like the one in front of me also asked. And he looked at him and said, you? No. And he said, but you told someone he can do it. He said, because that person is old, and for that matter, it will not that lead him closer to anything. Unlike you, as a young guy, the blood is running so fast. Anything can lead to that. So he stopped him. So مقدمات الجماع مكروها is totally disliked. للصائم for anything, anyone who is fasting.
كالقبلة
والجسة. So those things are كالقبلة, like kissing.
والجسة.
والجسة and also wiping each other والملاعبة and playing. If you know you cannot control it, don't even start it.
إن علم السلامة.
إن علم السلامة. If you feel like yes, you can do it, nothing will happen. Like the retirees, they don't, nothing will happen. Then there's nothing wrong with that. You can go ahead.
ذلك.
وإلا. But if you know you cannot control, حرام حرم عليه ذلك. Then it becomes حرام.
لكنه إن أمضى.
Now these are the stages. لكنه إن أمضى من ذلك فعليه القضاء. If you do that. And then you end up with mazi, فعليه القضاء. You have to make up that day's fasting after Ramadan. وإن أمنى, but if you end up with sperm, mani, then not only making up that day, you make up that day an extra 60 days. كفارة.
كفارة يب.
نعم.
وقيام رمضان مستحب.
قيام رمضان مستحب. It's encouraged to pray تراويح in the month of Ramadan.
يب.
مرغب is also something that is being encouraged. فيه there is lot of reward. As the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, من قام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. Whoever fast in the month of Ramadan and also prayed in the night in the month of Ramadan, that as long as he does it with iman and also he does it with the expectation of reward from Allah, غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه, he will be forgiven whatever he did in his previous sins. Now, we quickly go through this and then we'll look at hadith and then we can more or less conclude this fasting topic with this, inshallah. وَيُسْتَحَبُ إِنْفُرَادُ بِهِ. It is encouraged to pray this, the night prayer, إِنْفِرَادُ individuals. Alright? That is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Only in condition in lam tu'attil al-masajid, as long as the masjid will not be neglected. Alright? It is encouraged to pray this prayer in the month of Ramadan, individuals at home, as long as that the masjid will not be neglected. Now, to conclude on this, let me quickly look at this hadith that you're going to read for us. But just to quickly put our mind on this, there is hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam narrated by Aisha that says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in and out of Ramadan, he never prays more than 13 raka'at at night. Alright? This is hadith authentic that says that whether in Ramadan or outside Ramadan, every single night, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not pray more than 13 raka'at. Please, this hadith is not wajhul istidlal. This hadith is not wajhul istidlal for Taraweeh. You are not using this hadith to say because the Prophet ﷺ never used to pray up to 20 rakat, he only prayed 13 rakat. This is to say this is the sunnah of the Prophet every single night, regardless of Ramadan or not Ramadan. This is not wajhul istidlal. Alright? So when you see people praying up to even 36 rakat at night, 20 rakat as Sayyidina Umar asked their companions to do in the masjid, this is to do with Ramadan. Alright? Nowhere in any athar or ahadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in Ramadan, as part of Ramadan, you should pray Taraweeh and you should pray 12 rakah or 8 rakah. No way. Not even one hadith. We know at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he, as normal prayer that he was doing, the night prayer, it happens one of the nights of Ramadan, he was praying, and then some of the companions saw him praying. They joined him, not because he started that prayer in the month of Ramadan. They joined and prayed. The next night when he was praying, they joined him and prayed. The third night, he ignored them and stayed at home. As usual, he prays at home. The masjid was packed. He did not come out. The fourth, the same. And then later he told them that, I heard you guys. I can hear you talking, waiting. I did not come out so that I don't want it to end up becoming part of compulsory prayer so that you struggle with it. All right? This is what the Prophet ﷺ said regarding the night prayer. And that is his own night prayer that he normally does. وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَتَهَجَّدْ بِهِ نَافِلَةً لَكَ. This is what Allah told him to do. So this is his normal prayer. Now, the companions, now they started. They also do some night prayer because مَنْ قَامَ رَمَضَانَ, whoever stood up at night in the month of Ramadan, إِيمَانًا, with the belief, وَاحْتِسَابًا, and also expectation from Allah, reward, غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ, Allah will forgive all his previous sins. So the companions tried to do their best. So one day at the time of Umar, imagine the Prophet ﷺ passed away, the companions were all praying individually in their homes or in the masjid. Ramadan started second year of Hijrah. So you can understand for 8 good years or 9 in Medina, everyone is praying by himself. Not even once did the Prophet ﷺ said, you guys need to come to the masjid. After the Prophet ﷺ was Abu Bakr, 2 years he lived after the Prophet. He also at his time, everyone was doing his own thing. At the time of Umar, he was the one who brought the companions together and asked one imam to lead. When he entered the masjid, and it was not the first Ramadan, no, he entered the masjid one night, had different individuals, everyone praying, reading their own surah, and he thought, why can't we just get one imam? And he brought them together behind one imam, and he would use the word, ni'matu bid'at hadhi. So he said the word, this is bid'ah, but it's a good bid'ah for you. I have asked you to do it behind one imam. His teachings was the 20 rakats that we know about. So when you decide to pray 8 rakats, alhamdulillah, with your shafa and witr becomes 11. When you decide to pray 20, alhamdulillah, do not say, because you are praying 8 rakats or whatever, you are doing the right thing and the one who is praying 20 is wrong. Optional prayer is not compulsory prayer. Alright? If you are praying Zuhr or Asr or Maghrib or Isha and someone played around with it, that is where you say he committed a sin. But anything that is optional, for example, the Prophet ﷺ told us whoever in the morning after Fajr prayer says, لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد هو على كل شيء قدير. Right? This hadith, he said that whoever said this dhikr 100 times, Allah will protect him that day from any shaitan. Allah will give him this reward. Allah will give him that. He mentioned multiple things and said, no one can compete with that person in such a reward on that day except someone who did more than that person. Alright? So if you did 100 and I did 1,000, you're not expecting our reward to be the same. So there's nothing like, because the Prophet ﷺ said 100, if you do 1,000, you made a mistake. No. Alright? Let's quickly look at this hadith in Arba'un an-Nawawiyyah, and then we conclude our lesson with that. Now.
Al-Hadith al-Thamin wal-Ashun.
So this hadith, of course, in Arba'un an-Nawawiyyah is about this number 28.
عن أبي نجيح الإرباض بن سارية رضي الله عنه قال وعدنا رسول الله
صلى الله عليه وسلم موعظة. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم gave us a lecture one day. That lecture was amazing lecture to the extent
وجلت منها القلوب.
Our hearts got softened. وظرفت منا العيون. And our eyes start to shed tears. With that sort of energy and the vibes around the Prophet at that time, we all thought, subhanallah, what a lecture. And then we said,
فَقُلْنَا يَا رَسُولَ
اللَّهِ, and we said, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ كَأَنَّهَا مَوْعِزَةً مُوَدَّعٍ. This lecture that you give, as if it's a farewell lecture. The way the message is going, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, as if this message is like a farewell lecture. So we want your advice. فَأَوْصِينَا, advise us. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said,
قال أوصيكم بتقوى الله.
أوصيكم بتقوى الله عز وجل. I commanded you or advised you to stick to the iman and what? Being mindful of Allah, fear of Allah in everything that you do. Okay? This is one important thing, which means that affirm your iman in Allah in all aspects of your life. And then?
والسمع والطاعة.
And listening and obedience. When you heard Allah says, take it. When you hear the messenger says, take it. No any argument. Sam'a wa ta'a. Straight away. When you hear anything that they said, Allah said you should do this, just do it. Don't do, stay away. The Prophet said, hold it. Don't do, stay away. This is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Naam.
وَإِنَّ تَأَمَّرَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْعَبْدِ
This information that I gave you, not only because you are looking at the a'imma, the leadership amongst you, even if it happens to be the slaves amongst you was given that leadership and they commanded you and said, Allah said, do this, do it. Don't be interested in who is saying it. Be interested in the message, where it's coming from. Not who said it. You can be our imam in the community. You can be the sheikh in the community. But someone who is among your students knew something and said, didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say this? It's a reminder. Hold it. Sam'a wa ta'a. Naam.
فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ يَعِشْ مِنْكُمْ
فَسَيَرَى اِخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا For indeed, whoever lives long amongst you, فَسَيَرَى اِخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا They will see lots of different opinions and argument. Everyone will be arguing on their opinion that they are right. Someone is wrong. This, it will happen, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. So always be mindful. If you start seeing this, what do you need to do?
فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي
So I encourage you, عَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي Hold on to my ways. Hold on to my ways. What you know me doing or what you saw me doing, hold on to that.
وَسُنَّةِ
الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ And also the ways of the companions that are with me, al-mahdiyin, those that are guiding people on the right path. So now, among those companions are Abu Bakr. Among those companions are Umar. Among those companions are Uthman. Among those companions is Ali. These are all companions of the Prophet ﷺ who have said some things that at the time of the Prophet ﷺ wasn't that common. Example is when Umar said, all of you come together, one imam, pray 20 rakat. Alright? We can see multiple of these incidents coming from the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. At the time of the Prophet ﷺ, they only pray adhan on the day of Jummah, only one adhan when the imam goes on the minbar. After the Prophet ﷺ, Abu Bakr came, the same way. After the Abu Bakr is Umar, the same way. When Uthman came, he introduced another adhan, one in the market to remind people of salat before when he goes on the minbar. When Ali came, he did not say, no, Uthman introduced something new. No, he held on to the same distance. They continue like that. And there are multiple things that you can look at with the teachings of Ali the same. Okay? Addu alayha bin nawajis. This thing that I'm asking you to do, addu alayha. Hold on to it. Bin nawajis with your teeth. Wallah, you will get up. You are doing everything right. Someone will sit down and look at you and say, now all that you're doing is bid'ah. You're going to Jahannam. Then you leave that. Then you come doing something else. After some years back, he will end up, oh, subhanallah, this evidence. He has already condemned you. Now he is coming to do that. But he has already put you to Jahannam. Not just the surface, deep down. And here we are, hypocrite. He has come down. Just because he does not have the knowledge, he felt like, if I don't know something, it is haram. It does not work that way. I remember the other day we were researching, we were asking questions about muqallid. And we got to understand, everyone is muqallid. There's no one person on earth today that can say that he is not muqallid. He is just going through Quran, hadith, no one else. Everyone will relate to Ibn Jawzi. Ibn Taymiyyah, everyone will get someone to say, this one said, authenticate this hadith. How many years from the time of the Prophet to the time of Bumbaz and this Sheikh, and they said that he authenticated Hadith. So that means that before he came, those who came before him, are they wrong? You get that? So we need to be very mindful when we try to push the boundaries and make it as if the deen has to be a skeleton in a way that if it's not this way, everyone is wrong. No. Wallah, it's not the same. There are things, look, at the time of Anas bin Malik, even before his time, the Tabi'in and some of the companions, they will have some fatwa in Iraq. And they come to Medina and say, oh, the people of Medina, the same question, but this is how they do. They go back and say, look, what we said, leave it. Hold on to this. Hold on to this. And even we just spoke about if a person woke up with Junub, right? Yeah. Abu Huraira said that when you get up in the state of Junub, you don't have fasting for that day. Authentic hadith. Those who heard him, they went to Aisha and said, no, they went to one of the companions and said, this is what Abu Huraira said. He said, no, you take my horse. Go to the house of the Prophet and ask the wives of the Prophet. They went to the house of the Prophet and asked, this is what we heard and we are asked to come and ask. He said, no, the Prophet do woke up in the morning on the month of Ramadan with Junub. They have to go and tell him. He said, go with my horse all the way and go and inform Abu Huraira. He was wrong. This is the correct one. So, ikhtilafat will always be there. Okay? This hadith that spoke about kullu bid'ati dalala, one of the narrators of this hadith is Ahmed bin Hanbal. Right? He was one of those who narrated the hadith. Ahmed bin Hanbal narrated this hadith. Now, Ahmed bin Hanbal, if he understood this hadith carefully, kullu bid'ati dalala, right? Ahmed bin Hanbal, they said every single night he prays 300 rakats. We just hear the Prophet ﷺ, how many? He never crossed 30 rakats every night. Ahmed bin Hanbal is praying 300 rakats. He narrated kullu bid'ati dalala. Is he wrong? He doesn't understand that? So the understanding of hadith from Salaf al-Salih is different from the understanding of the same thing in our time. To the extent people are just looking at faces. This guy is not in my group. So I need to interpret the hadith to condemn him. Abdullah ibn Ahmed ibn Hanbal, he was the one who was telling us that his father, Ahmed ibn Hanbal, he got this special jalabiyah that he prays with every night. Abdullah ibn Ahmed ibn Hanbal, he said that, I know after my dad, I used to take that jalabiyah to do tawassul with it. All right? One day I came home, our house was burnt down. Everything is gone. I was so upset knowing that I've lost that jalabiyah. We started checking, cleaning up the ashes and whatever. I saw the jalabiyah intact on my bed. Now, if we are talking about kullu bid'ati dalala, how do we justify this sort of things? So we need to be very careful the way the words are being said out there. You need to look at things and justify things. Don't just look at things and just use it anyhow. Wallahi, there are things that people have condemned. 70 years after the first nation, when introduction of nuqat, dots, was introduced in the Quran, there are people who said, this is bid'ah, we're not going to touch this Quran. And later, tashkil, the harakat came. There are those who said, the previous bid'ah, oh, this is worse than that. We're not touching the Quran. Now, you that is condemning bid'ah, the Quran you're holding, look at the decoration and the golden colors that are in the Quran. Have you ever complained about it? Well, someone before you said that is bid'ah, they won't touch it. So when we are talking about the deen, we need to be realistic. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, definitely when you live long, فَسَيَرَى إِخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا, they will be seeing multiple things that will come. Debatable things will come. Even as I made mention within the companions, there are always debate. But we need to be very careful the way we go about condemning. Don't go straight away and condemn. Try to see things, if possible. Look at things that are wrong and say, this is wrong. Don't generalize people and put them in Jahannam when you don't own it. You don't own it. All right? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is advising you, hold on to the deen, addu alayha bin nawajis. Hold it tight, don't lose it. Alright? And what is the part, the last part?
وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَمُحْدَثَاتِ الْأُمُورِ.
And then he advised you, وَالْمُحْدَثَاتِ الْأُمُورِ and kada, as we mentioned. So generally what we're trying to look at in this hadith is, just try to understand that there are always going to be multiple opinions. If you are praying 20 rakats, don't condemn those that are not praying 20 rakats. If you are praying 8 rakats, don't take those that are praying 20 rakats, they're going to Jahannam. The deen is not yours. Alright? The deen is not yours. Now, you that is condemning those that are praying 20 rakats, see your hypocrisy by the end of Ramadan. See your hypocrisy. You said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, according to that hadith we made mention, he never crossed 13 rakats a night, right? Okay, the last 10 days of Ramadan, you will pray Taraweeh in the masjid. Go home and get up at night and pray Tahajjud as well. How many rakats? One night. Isn't this hypocrisy? You just finished condemning someone, they're going to Jahannam because they prayed more than 13 rakat. And here you are, you've introduced another thing. The Prophet never in his life prayed any night prayer two in one like the way we do it now in Ramadan. The last 10 days, we pray Taraweeh and we go back later in the night, we get up and pray Tahajjud again. He never does that. His night prayer is the same night prayer every single day, regardless, Ramadan or not Ramadan. So we need to change our concept. And the same way, we hear behind the imam, Ameen, 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 reading Al-Qunut in Ramadan. Where? Bring one hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it. It does not exist. It does not exist. So when we are talking about things, that does not mean that when we do that, it's haram. Alright? So when we're doing things and people condemn it, we should be very careful how far we go, because we will end up putting ourselves into, you yourself become the bid'ah later. Bid'ah, 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 then you yourself become. You know? So we need to be careful. May Allah help us. Inshallah, we stop here. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت ونستغفرك ونتوب إليك سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين